Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ali. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now is live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Chopper Pete Quinnell and today I'm joined by my intangible co-host, Tempest, the Wrestler.
I'm not gonna say my own name like that. I don't wanna butcher it. But yeah, that's me.
Hey, that's me. How you doing?
I'm sleepy, but we got a good show, so those things kind of balance out. And say mm-hmm. I'm doing a pretty solid all right. And yourself?
I'm okay. I am also a bit sleepy and I've had quite a busy day. But the show is really good. So that, like you said, balances it out. Had a good weekend though. That was quite fun. Got to go to my parents to see my fam. Got to meet my baby nephew for the first time, which was a great time.
Right.
Got to, I guess, re-meet my niece because she didn't remember me. which makes sense.
I've met my cousins like three times.
Yeah, she's like three. It makes sense. But yeah, it was great fun. We went out to like this it was like a play park farm thing. So they had a bunch of animals and stuff that they had on the farm, but they also had a load of stuff for kids to do. They had a lot of like play parks and got to feed the animals and stuff like that. It was a whole bunch of fun. We saw that they had go-karts and we were like, that sounds like fun. Turns out they were pedaled ones. And of course, my niece not being big enough, she's three. She couldn't do that. So it was like, I guess Uncle Pete will do it and you can sit on Uncle Pete's lap while he just pedals you around forever. And it's like, okay, we're done now. She goes, again. It's like, oh, come on, my legs hurt. But yeah, it was a really fun day. I got burnt, got sunburnt.
Uh-huh.
Was out. Wasn't even that much sun. It was mostly cloudy. Still got burnt.
That's where they get you. Crikey. Overcast days are the worst. I went to the beach on Saturday after we finished the SmackDown podcast, and I did not get burnt because I was a smart boy this time. Used sunscreen. I'm learning.
Yeah.
How was the beach? My past. It was all right. We lost the sun after a few hours, and I had to make the trip back anyway. But overall, it was quite lovely. It was the first time I'd been to a beach in probably like 2 years, considering everything that's happened. So that was a very nice change of pace.
That sounds wonderful. Let's get into talking about NXT. Where first thing we're going to be talking about is the main event of the show, which was Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly 2. And guess what, guys? It was really good. It's really unsurprising, but it was a great match. So let's talk about it. But the first thing we're going to be talking about, speaking of amazing wrestling, is the main event of this show, which was Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole 2, which was the straight-up singles match that was built from their unsanctioned match that they had previously. Makes total sense. This one, I'm gonna go out on a limb. I think I enjoyed this more than their unsanctioned match.
I
thought this was a bloody brilliant match because, you know, I think there was a lot of smoke and mirrors in their unsanctioned match. Obviously, a lot of hardcore spots, and they had like a bunch of chairs and chains and all sorts of stuff going on in that match. This was two guys who were really good at wrestling, doing some really good wrestling, and God, they're really good at wrestling, aren't they? it's just them having a really good match. And the pace was so fast, so many cool submissions and counters, so many great near falls. Panama Sunrise to the outside, and then it was working over Kyle O'Reilly's knee, and then Cole unintentionally like used the knee as his offense, and then he couldn't capitalize because his knee was injured, and Adam Cole capitalized on it, hits the last shot. Kyle O'Reilly kicks out of the last shot, but then he succumbs to a second one, and Adam Cole wins. I genuinely don't have that much to say about this match, but it was great. It was so much fun, and I just really enjoyed it. It was a great way to end it.
Yes. My thoughts on the whole thing is like, I really enjoyed the match. Mm-hmm. The match itself I thought was fantastic. Like this was a more enjoyable match than the first one, because I really enjoyed the unsanctioned match when it happened, for sure. You know, we came on the podcast and we talked about how great it was and everything like that. But going back to it, it is a little bit like tedious in parts. Like it just kind of feels a little overindulgent. They just kind of keep going. It's like a 45 minute unsanctioned match. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, we could probably cut out some parts of this. Here, this was like a half hour match. It was much more compact. It was just wrestling, which I typically just enjoy more than let's do some crazy wacky spots. Mm-hmm. What a good match, you know, just too good. I mean, it's Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. Like they've been having really good matches together for over 10 years. So it's no shock that they're going to have another good one. I really enjoyed seeing it. I'm still just not sold on the story of everything here, you know, because we saw the end of the story already. The unsanctioned match was the blow off. They did the match. Kyle won. That is the end. And it feels like we're just kind of like, okay, we need to go again. So we're just going to go again. And they're really good. So it's not too much to complain about because there's a good match. But it happened. And I was just kind of like, good match. It wasn't like, oh my God, this incredible chapter of this ongoing story that I love so dearly. You know what I mean?
I totally get you. I think the justification for it would be that they had an unsanctioned match, which, I think the problem is NXT generally doesn't place as high a value on wins and losses. Like they do in general, like wins and losses do matter a lot more in NXT than they do on the main roster, just in general. But I think if they had maybe emphasize the fact that they had an unsanctioned match before that doesn't count, you know, it was just them blowing off their steam and it doesn't count towards, like, I know they don't have NXT standings or anything like that, but it doesn't count in the overall hierarchy of where people position themselves on the NXT roster. So if they kind of emphasize that a bit more and was just like, right, okay, kind of wanted an unsanctioned match, but when it actually comes time for a match that matters, a match that actually has meaning for the NXT championship picture or something like that, that's where I'm going to win, speaking as Adam Cole, that is. So maybe if they emphasize that more going into it, might have made a bit more sense. For this one, it did just feel like, oh, they had a great match. Let's just do another one then. A little bit. I totally get where you're coming from. Having said that, it was so much fun. I don't really care, honestly. Like, not right away. I do want to see Cole versus Cole 3 at some point. Not the next takeover, probably not the one after that. But maybe the one after that, I'll probably be open to it because, you know, they're really bloody good matches at the end of the day. Like, you really can't complain that much. If they're putting on fantastic wrestling, you really can't complain that much.
No. And that's to me a thing, because I've been watching a lot of really good wrestling lately, preparing for my next video on my own YouTube channel, Tempest the Wrestler. Like and subscribe. But if they are able to do the third match and not have it be at the next takeover in like 6 weeks, or even the takeover after that, if there's a good chunk of time between now and then, I will be ready to see it happen again. They will have made me want to watch it again, because these matches are really good, you know? And if this is any other promotion, it would be like, oh my God, look at this incredible, incredible match. And we're still kind of getting that here, but it's missing that next little bit. And if they add the NXT championship to this, perhaps there's definitely more layers that you can add to make me want to see it a third time, which I mean, they're 1-1. I would be shocked if they didn't do a third match between these guys.
Yeah. And I think that's genuinely where they're going to go is maybe I'm thinking that Gargano won't beat Cross next week. And I think that maybe Adam Cole will go on to challenge Cross after his win after Kyle. He'll be like, cool, now that means I'm next in line for an NXT title shot. I think he will beat Cross to win the NXT title. And then maybe Cole will defend it against one or two people successfully. And then Kyle O'Reilly will get some good wins, get some big wins, and position himself as a number one contender, come back to Cole and be like, right, now's the time where I'm going to beat you. And you know what? If they did it in a straight up singles match, again, I think that would genuinely be the best stipulation they could do, because that would be the one where Kyle hasn't beaten Cole before, because he's beaten him with all the weapons and all the smoke and mirrors and all the other stuff, but he can't beat him in a normal wrestling match. That's the story they've been telling. So if they did a normal singles match for the NXT championship down the line and Kyle wins, that would actually be a good story if they wanted to tell it.
I think so. I am a little bit worried that they're going to go the same route that they went with the Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano feud, where they went stipulation match first, really good singles match, throw everything at the wall in the third match. Yeah. And I mean, I was there for that. I was ready to see this incredible match. And of the three, it's definitely my least favorite. So if they lean more towards the second match and just have a really good match telling the story within the confines of the match, then having to be like, here's 2 out of 3 falls in a barbed wire cage, and look at all these tables, and look at all these spots. Look at the spots we can do, Pete. Look at the spots. If we get away from that a little bit, I think we're in for a golden trilogy of matches here. But it's if they do that, and I'll cross my fingers, because I'd really like to see it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, I don't think there's too much more to say, because I know we could go through some of the spots in the match, but there's genuinely quite a lot of them, and it wasn't really do it justice. Just go and watch it, I guess, because it's a really fun match.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Let's get into some of your Ultra Chats. So let's see what you guys thought of the show. Don't forget to get in your Ultra Chats at wrestletalk.com/support. Link is on the screen right now. Get in your Ultra Chats there, and we'll read out all of the ones that are $5 and above before the show ends today. That'd be very much appreciated. Eric Defcon Prime Dirigi. Dirigi? I got that one right. Totally. Yep. If Steve Howe can get seven chances pitched... If Steve Howe can get seven chances to pitch a no-hitter and get a World Series ring, Jimmy Uso deserves more than three chances, and don't call me a boomer because I know who Steve Howe is. The Naked Gun even references Steve Howe. I can empathize with Jimmy. Goodness me, that was a lot. Grammar.
Wasn't expecting Jimmy Uso to come up in the first 10 minutes of this.
Yeah, me neither.
There is a sizable difference between pitching in a baseball game mm-hmm. and putting people's lives at risk. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Dickhead, Jimmy Uso. Like, I empathize. He's obviously got things going on. And, yes, get help. Become a better person. But when it's your demons that could put a 6-year-old child without a father or a mother, or take that child away from their parents... That's where you lose me. Stop driving drunk. No excuse for it.
Especially these days when you got stuff like Uber, you could quite easily get a Lyft somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or Lyft. Anywho, that's all we're going to say about it. Please don't ask us again. Thank you very much. Let's get on to review this Great American Bash episode of NXT, where the show started. Opening match was MSK versus Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher for the NXT Tag Team Championships. My first note here was, good God, that's a hot crowd. That's nice. What a contrast to some of the more recent crowds we've had.
Man, we'll never get past the In Your House crowd just being dead the entire time. If that crowd was so good... Quiet. We probably would have come out and be like, hey, what a fun takeover, guys.
Right? Yeah, it would have been totally okay. But good God, this made this whole card so much better with how into everything they were. Super hot crowd. Super in favor of Ciampa and Thatcher, by the way. God, they were the out-and-out baby faces in the crowd's eyes in this match. And literally... I don't have any notes for this match because I was having too much fun watching because the pace was so fast. They just started and they did not stop for the whole thing. They just kept going, did spot after spot after spot after spot after spot. There wasn't even that much of a story in this match. It was just them having a match. It was just them doing some really good wrestling back and forth. It wasn't even like, oh, this team's going to work over this team for a little bit. Maybe they'll do that for like a minute. Tops, and then there'll be some more spots, and then it will be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth the whole time. Whoa. It was like they said, right, we've got the one ad break, we'll go through it in this one, and then they said, right, you've got 5 more minutes after this ad break to finish the rest of the match. And they go, oh no, we had 15 more minutes of spots planned, let's just do them all. and they just squeezed everything into this match. It was so much fun all the way through. I don't know how I feel about the finish. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. Ciampa and Thatcher looked like they were going to get the win here. There was a fairy tale ending at one point. I might be getting my spots mixed up here, but there's a fairy tale ending at one point, like an assisted fairy tale ending with an extra kick in there, which is really nice. But after there was a really close near fall, Wesley just rolls up. I think it was Thatcher, just rolls him up for the 1-2-3, just a straight up roll up, which was, it was okay. I don't know if MSK retaining is genuinely the right idea here, because I feel like they haven't gone over to the degree that I think NXT would want them to, with the live crowd in particular. With the wider audience, maybe, I think a lot of people like them. But with the live crowd, they haven't gone over to the degree they want. So maybe I might have been smart to either take the titles off them or maybe throw in a new wrinkle in their character. Maybe this is the start of that. Maybe there's going to be some sort of slowish heel turn for them. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to see that personally, but I think something needs to change about their act. I think them just being the same guys with the titles doing the same kind of shtick the whole time is clearly not connecting with the live crowd as much as they want it to. So something needs to change, whether it's dropping the titles or a change in character or something.
I agree. Like, they, because they showed up and they weren't given this like big welcome party, you know, because it was, here's MSK mystery team in the Dusty Rhodes Classic, you know. So because they were a mystery team, they didn't get vignettes building them up. We didn't know a whole lot about them. And then they just kind of like, they got into it and they were just going. They were just going. They were doing their thing. They ended up winning matches, winning the titles, and here we are. I feel like I don't know them. They are just kind of like eccentric and sometimes a bit obnoxious, you know, like we need to know who these guys are. And as for this match itself, my problem with it is it felt like it was highlighting the other team. And that shouldn't be the point. If MSK are your champions, they're your babyface kind of underdogs, smaller guys, high flyers. You want to highlight that team, especially considering they haven't really been highlighted that much. They beat Legado del Fantasma. That's good. And I think that was a step in the right direction for them. But this was a match where Timothy Thatcher and Tommaso Ciampa were like the stars of this match. And Ciampa in particular, I thought Ciampa was like one of the best guys on the whole show. He just went out there and was wrestling and had the great facial expressions, the big near falls. He hit his big moves, the powerbomb onto the double knees. It was like a lot of really cool stuff that would make you want to see Ciampa and Thatcher get the win. And you don't have to put the titles on them. That's not what I'm saying. Like, you can go that direction, but you don't have to. But if you're not going to, I think the structure of this match probably could have changed a little bit. Because I came away from it thinking that the worst team won. And again, you can do that if that's the story you're telling. But I don't feel like that's the story that they're telling. Because MSK is a team that, at least in people's eyes, and certainly in the crowd's eyes, are the worst team of the two. And they're still baby faces, and they're still the champions. So there's a lot of like mixed messages hidden there, where you either need to go one direction and have them actually be the worst team that are sneaking out wins and being heels, or they need to be really competitive, strong babyface champion guys.
Yeah.
I feel like we're stuck in the middle of those two and they need to pick one.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like something that NXT has been quite good at in years gone by is listening to the reactions and kind of changing their tact based on reactions to people, and if people aren't getting over in the way they think or whatever, they do generally like try to change someone's character, or they change the text of their story or whatever. And it just feels like with MSK, they're just not doing that. So maybe this is all part of the long game and we're being worked, brother. I don't know. Maybe we'll see. We'll let it play out a bit more, but who knows?
I very much like it to make sense.
Yeah.
Like if it ends up making sense and I can look back on it and be like, oh, that all made sense, I'm going to be like, yeah, cool. But for this chapter, I was kind of like, I don't know. Really good match. Just iffy on the finish in the direction.
Yeah. However, was a great moment in this match. I'm just going to share my screen real quick. Shout out to Matthew of Botchamania fame for this gem. I love this. Oh, no, I didn't share audio. Let me try it again. let me try this again. Share audio. I need it for this one.
Subscribe to Tempest the Wrestler.
Yeah. Here we go.
Hi, Alma. Since they made me stop drinking, I've regained my balance and diction. Observe. I am the very model of a water major general. I'm information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. Oh, that's nothing. Yes. There once was a man from Nantucket.
That's quite good.
I love it.
That's quite good.
I love it. Thank you, Matthew. You're a gem. I love that spot as well. Wesley trying to do his handsprings and just getting kneed in the face by Ciampa. That was a good time. Anyway, thanks, Matthew. You're great. The next thing we got was an in-ring segment with Samoa Joe and William Regal, where they got out Johnny Gargano and Karrion Kross to come in and talk about their title match that they're going to have. I thought this was a wonderful promo segment from basically everyone involved. I thought that, you know, we haven't been too high on Karrion Kross's promo ability, but I thought he did a great one here in this segment. Johnny coming out and just being like, hey, you're scared of me. You don't want to wrestle me because I'll expose you. You're a terrible wrestler. And Karrion Kross just being like, just talking back to him and just being like, you know, are you wearing your wife's jeans and stuff like that? And he's like, this isn't some movie. This is real life. And in real life, people like me beat up people like you. You do not win against me, which was really cool. And Johnny saying, as he was leaving, saying that it's funny that you brought up my wife's jeans because you couldn't even lace my wife's boots. I'm like,
good line.
That's a good line. Go on, Johnny. Love it. And they announced that next week it's going to be Kross versus Gargano for the title. But the really exciting bit for me is that Samoa Joe is going to be the special guest referee. Yes. Yes. Yes, please. Yes. All of my yes for that. Because that's a perfect use for Samoa Joe right now. That's a brilliant use of him. Him being in as a special guest ref is absolutely spot on. And I think he's really going to add a special element to that match. It does kind of lean to me. It makes me believe that I think Kross is going to retain against Gargano. I think with Joe as a special guest ref, I think that the odds are more now in Gargano's favor because Joe and Kross have had a bit more of interaction, which makes me think that they're then going to double down on Kross winning to then have someone else, probably Adam Cole, take the title off him down the line would be my guess. But I'm very excited to see Joe's involvement in the match next week.
I believe so as well. I really liked all the delivery from everyone involved here. These are guys that can play their roles in promo segments very well. I know I kind of started a few months ago saying like, oh, Karrion Kross should let someone else do the talking for him. He's done it enough now. I'm just kind of used to it. And he cuts good enough promos that I can roll with it. You know, it's not like a bunch of these other big jacked up dudes who cut bad promos and just like, please, every time you talk, it makes me like you less. I don't know where we're going with all this. You know, I don't know. And this is totally, I will compose my thoughts. Take two. I think that with all of the dark matches and main event matches that Karrion Kross has had, I don't think this is the purpose of everything, but it makes me more intrigued in a match like this because it allows me to suspend my disbelief and think, he could absolutely lose the championship here. I don't know that I would do it if I had said when he won the championship from Finn Balor, I would not have guessed that he would lose it on a random NXT to Johnny Gargano. But this is now the situation that we're in. Bronson Reed lost his title on very short notice and is probably getting a main roster call up in the near future. All signs point to Karrion Kross being the same way. But I don't know if Johnny Gargano is the guy. You know, I don't know. They've got me. They've hooked me with this angle and this match.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I don't know who's going to win. And those are the most intriguing matches to me. Like, I'm really excited to see it. I don't know how they're going to do it. I think, again, Samoa Joe will be involved in some way. And shenaniganery will lead to someone getting the win. I don't know what's going to happen. And it's exciting.
Yeah, you know? It is genuinely really exciting. And especially because there's every chance that Kross could lose, but there's also every chance that Kross could retain and he still might get another match, maybe at like the pre-SummerSlam takeover or whatever, if there is one, and he could lose there. Or he could just keep the title, go to the main roster, and there's a little bit of crossover period, carrying crossover period, where he's on the main roster as NXT champion, but then he's still on NXT for like a month after, and the next title match he has after that, he'll drop it. Like, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen across. He might not even be going to the main roster. They might change their mind. We never know what's going to happen with WWE. So I'm excited. It should be good fun next week, and it should be a great match as well. I'm quite pumped for that. After that, Kushida cut a little promo saying that he's ready for the diamond mine. He's saying that his title shines brighter than diamonds or something like that.
Something like that.
Sure, yeah.
Shine bright like a diamond.
Yes, he was quoting Rihanna. And then after that, we got LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes for the $1 million championship. But if Cameron Grimes loses, he needs to become LA Knight's butler. I thought this match ruled. Wasn't, you know, the star-making, amazing, breathtaking match of the night or anything. I think this did exactly what it needed to do. This was a very fun match. Cameron Grimes, super-duper over with the crowd. Everything he did, the crowd was so into it. And I thought it had a perfect finish. Nearly perfect finish to this match. Where Knight tried to use the $1 million championship earlier in the match, but got foiled. And he kind of was trying to pick it up, and he accidentally pushed it out of the ring at one point. So it was just on the floor on the outside. And I was like, oh, we lost this championship. Boo-hoo. Can't be a heel. That's cool. And then they had some spots later on, and they kept going back and forth a little bit. And then they spill to the outside, and Knight kind of trips up Grimes onto the apron, grabs him, and does a DDT onto the title belt on the outside. Right, and the title belt is right next to the ring, so the referee can't see the title belt. Does the DDT onto the title belt, then pushes the belt underneath, gets him back in the ring, and Grimes does kick out, which, you know, I would have had the finish there, but, you know, that's fine. And then he hits his finisher. Oh, sorry, he just gets back in at 9.5. Sorry, it wasn't a kick out. At literally like 9.5, he gets back in the ring, which was a great little close. I was going to say a near fall, but it's not a fall. Near count out was a great spot. And then Knight hits his, whatever they're calling it, his face buster finisher thingy, and picks up the win. The right person won, I think, because we want to see Grimes as his butler, because I think that's going to be a lot of fun, hopefully anyway. And I really like the use of the belt in the finish. I would have preferred it if he just hit the DDT, rolled him in and pinned him, or hit the DDT, rolled him in, hit his finisher and pinned him, and that was that. And then just kind of the title factored more into the finish than just the finisher afterwards, because the 9.5 count from the near fall was the title bit. That's my only criticism, but it was a fun match.
I thought this was a really fun match. I partially disagree. Okay. And I don't know how this is going to be received. I would have had Grimes get counted out.
Yeah, totally.
Just not make the 10 count.
Yeah.
Because, to me, this was a match where if you were to do a count out finish, it wouldn't be, oh, they're booking their way out of it. They just don't want to beat anybody. This would be a way to keep Cameron Grimes strong, but also because this is a match that has stakes, and if he loses, he has to be his butler, that whole deal. If he's conscious when he loses, there's more of a chance to react. And if he gets counted out and it's like 10, as he's like turned around facing the ring and he's like, no, yeah, I can't lose. He's still a bit loopy from the belt shot and everything, but there's more of a chance for that kind of moment than if he gets in, gets hit with the face buster and he's just out. And then he has to come to and realize it. It still worked. I don't think it like ruined the match or anything, but I think this would have been a really good chance to keep Cameron Grimes strong and not like beat him. You know, he still would have lost, but having him get back in and get pinned is just like, I think you could have avoided it if you had just belt shot. He still cheated. He's being protected, counted out, and now he has to do the thing.
Yeah.
That's how I would have booked it. I still think they did a very good job. I'm excited to see the vignettes. I think the match and the action involved was very good. I think they had the right person win. At least you didn't get back in and then no sell the belt shot and then win. That would have been a nightmare, but yeah. I was happy with how everything would have went. I just would have booked it a little bit differently.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty similar between getting counted out or doing the DDT straight into the finisher and pin, but like you said, the reactions will probably make the difference to that, which could have been a lot of fun because it's Cameron Grimes and he always makes everything funny. But yeah,
it still, also sorry, go ahead. With before going completely past that, you know that WWE and NXT love doing their screwy finishes. Mm-hmm. And you get your count outs and your DQs and your double count outs and your no contests and whatever. And it's very rare that we get one that's actually appropriate.
Mm.
So I felt like if we got a count out here in a match that where it would have worked, that would be like, oh, we're using one of these bad cards that we have in our hand, but we're using it in the right situation.
Yes.
And that we don't get enough of that. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to do a count out on SmackDown and it's going to suck.
You're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong. Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai cut a promo backstage. They're not happy. Cool. And then we got the lineup of the eight people in the breakout tournament. So we were talking about this before, being like, who's going to be in it? Is it going to be people like Carmelo Hayes and Trey Baxter? Yes. Yes, it is. And also some other people. But you know what's great about it is they went round and all of them had intangibles.
Hell yeah.
So many intangibles. All right. I'm really glad because the last one is the best one. So it's great. I'm so glad they did it in this order. So we got the announcement of Trey Baxter, who we saw before facing Kushida in his Cruiserweight Open Challenge. His intangibles, innovative, high-flying heart.
Innovative. Not innovation.
Not innovation.
No. Nope.
Innovative.
This is going to be a running thing for the next 2 minutes, yep. Gang. Is it an adjective or is it a noun?
Some of them make sense because both of them, if they got like two, both of them are either adjectives or nouns. For a lot of people, they actually got it right for this one, mm-hmm. which is fine. But just make it consistent across all of them. That's all we're asking. Yep. Also, heart. Then we got Carmelo Hayes, who we also saw in the Cruiserweight Open Challenge. And his intangibles, speed, finesse, and athleticism.
Okay.
That's okay.
I'll work with you.
Finesse is a weird one, but sure. Yeah, let's go with it. That's all right.
Speed. Again, tangible.
Yes, speed is very tangible.
You can measure speed.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. Andre Chase was up next, who I don't think we've seen on NXT before, unless I'm horribly mistaken.
Might have been in an enhancement match, but he's been on 205 Live of late.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Yeah, he's a 205 guy rather than an NXT guy. His intangibles, high ring IQ, experience, and execution.
Okay. I do like that high ring IQ mm-hmm. and ring IQ are different.
Yes.
I don't know how they're different.
Yeah.
But I don't think they do either.
I'm going to try and not put my foot in my mouth here. Experience as an intangible. Pretty sure the vast majority of the NXT roster are experienced wrestlers. I don't know how much experience Andre Chase has got, but mm-hmm. I would have thought that it's comparable at least to a lot of other NXT performers who've been doing this for like 10 years plus. That's just me.
I hadn't considered it, but that is very fair. He's not on Wikipedia or anything. I can't look up how long Andre Chase has been wrestling. But yeah. Oh, well. Next one.
Josh Briggs has vicious and powerful. It's all right.
Okay. They're both still adjectives.
Yeah. It's okay. Also, I feel like powerful can be measured because it's power.
Mm-hmm.
A bit tangible. You can measure strength and stuff like
just
that.
Just a little tangible.
Eichmann Jiro.
Yeah.
High flyer, Japanese handsome style.
Right on.
All right.
I mean, that's his thing, I suppose.
Sure. Yeah,
he's doing a play on Japanese strong style. Other mm-hmm. people have done this. Rocky Romero does sneaky style,
mm-hmm.
etc. I don't understand how that's an intangible necessarily.
Nah, not really. It's more like a fighting style.
Yeah, I don't know what handsome style is.
Yeah,
I would have liked it if I think it would have been a lot funnier. And I don't know if these are meant to be funny or if we're just taking the piss
time. These are deadly serious. I can guarantee you. I like Triple H and Shawn Michaels are in the back being like, oh, guys, these are really cool. Everyone's going to love them.
I would have liked to have just said handsome.
Yes.
Like, that's his intangible. He
that
is handsome.
That would have been so funny. That would have been so good. I love it. We then got Joe Gacy.
Mm-hmm.
Unpredictable and ruthless. Ooh. Also, both work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Both mm-hmm. adjectives. It's all right. That's fine. Odyssey Jones. Big man Odyssey Jones. Controlled aggression. Not aggression.
No.
Controlled aggression.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Powerhouse.
And not power. We're powerful.
Nope. Controlled aggression, powerhouse, durability.
I think they only have like 20 of these words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you get to a segment like this where they need like 24 of them so they can each have three. And they're like, crap, we gotta reuse some. How do we do that? A powerhouse. He's a powerhouse. He's a powerful powerhouse.
Yep. And he's durable because he's big lad, so he's durable, and also he's aggressive. But we've already got like aggression and vicious, ruthless, controlled aggression. Let's throw that in there. Yeah, why not? He can control his anger. He's not the Hulk. He can control his anger. It's weird, but that's okay. And then finally, Duke Hudson, who's got opportunist, cunning, and suave.
He can be suave, but Eikmanjiro can't just be handsome.
No, suave is an intangible. How does suave make him a better wrestler? I'm confused. NXT explain. Why is this Arkansas? There's no Arkansas. NXT explained, why is it suave? Why is suave a thing? Why is it an intangible? Confused. Anyway, let's move on from intangibles because we spent
a lot of time. Who's going to win, Pete?
That's what I was about to ask. I don't know. I think, here's my prediction for the final. Oh, I don't know if it's going to be the final. I'm going to say it anyway. Carmelo Hayes versus Odyssey Jones.
Ooh.
I think that's gonna be the final one. One of those two is gonna win. I think they really like Carmelo Hayes. I think they're really high on Trey Baxter as well after his cruiserweight one as well. I think they're gonna really like Odyssey Jones and maybe Josh Briggs or Joe Gacy as well. I think Jiro might get past the first round, maybe, but he's gonna be a bit of like a funny, like, hey, I'm here kind of thing, but he's not gonna have too much of an impact. Yeah, I'm going to say my pick now. Carmelo Hayes. Yeah.
I think it's smart. I'm going to stick with Carmelo Hayes. I think he's just great. Yeah. Odyssey Jones did get a dark match at SmackDown last week. So there's something going on with that. Of course, the guy that hasn't been on NXT TV in a match one time, I wonder what Vince McMahon likes about him.
Who can say?
I'm sure he's a lovely fellow. I hope he impresses everyone in this tournament.
Yes, me too. But all of them look like they do have potential. So, you know, there wasn't one I was like, why are you there? All of them, it was just like, okay, cool. You look promising. This should be fun.
I don't know why Ari Sterling didn't get in this.
Yeah.
He felt like another one that would fit with all of this. But fair enough.
Who knows? Yeah. Then after that, we got what I would consider the weakest part of the show, maybe. Maybe that's a bit harsh. But we got Zoe Stark and Io Shirai versus The Way for the women's tag titles. We've got some more intangibles first. Stark and Shirai, fearless speed / powerful. Cool.
Speed, powerful.
Yeah, so it's
noun,
fearless.
No. Adjective.
Absolutely, yes. So fearless and speed were Shirai's. / powerful, which is Zoe Stark's. Apparently, she's powerful.
If you put them on the same graphic, they need to be the same.
Yeah, pick one. Noun or adjective. It's not hard. Come on, NXT, sort it out.
Speediness.
Speed quickness. Or power.
Oh, but we've had Power, we've had Powerful, we've had Powerhouse. Which one is she? Is she a powerhouse? I don't know.
Controlled Christ. Aggression. And then The Ways was Entitled and Ring IQ. And then Conviction, which I still don't understand fully. I'll be real.
And not Entitlement.
Nope.
They have Entitled Conviction.
Yep. And that's what they had before.
They don't change this one, too. Yeah. It's been the same intangibles for all their title matches, and they're still dumb.
Yeah. So this match was... It was a fun match. It was pretty good fun. It was again, much like the other ones, the other matches on this show, pretty fast-paced, a lot of fun. I wasn't sold on the finish, honestly, because after a few minutes of action, after maybe like 10 minutes or so, the lights went out, and we got the reveal of the battery charging vignettes that have been going for ages that charged up to 100%, and it was revealed to be Tegan Nox, who is who we speculated it to be, and who it was reported like the day before it was going to be. She came out, and her being back was so distracting for Candice LeRae that Zoe Stark hit the cool finish thing, whatever it's called, the F360 or whatever it is, and she gets the win. So Io Shirai and Zoe Stark are your new women's tag team champions. But then, before they can properly celebrate, Tegan Nox comes down and starts brawling with Candice LeRae, and then they kind of brawl out of the arena, and then they go, oh my god, Tegan Nox is back! Oh, and also, Zoe Stark and Io Shirai are new NXT Women's Tag Team Champions, and they celebrated for a bit, and I was like, what are we supposed to be focusing on here? Mm-hmm. The messages feel very, very mixed up as to what we're supposed to be... What's the big takeaway from this segment? Is it that Tegan Nox is back, or is it that we got new champions? And if it was me... Personally speaking, I would have had Tegan Nox come out after the match, not during, because I think that's a bit of a dick move to come out during the match to distract someone. And maybe this is going into more of the way face turn. Maybe that's the direction they're going, and maybe they want to paint them in a more babyface light, but they're not. They didn't really act like babyfaces at all until they just kind of got screwed over by Tegan Nox. So I don't really know what the direction was here. I just wasn't super sold in it. It's, don't get me wrong, it's great to see Tegan Nox back. I just would have much rather she came out after the match rather than during.
Well, what you see, Pete, after the match segment was reserved for the return of Dexter Lumis. Woohoo!
It was in the ad break. It wasn't even on the show. Don't give me
that. Yeah, I know. This is their logic, not mine. I agree. I think there were kind of mixed, not mixed signals, but there was definitely a lack of focus on the end of this. And you could really tell when they handed the belts to Io Shirai and Zoe Stark, and they're just kind of like, yay? Woohoo?
Yeah.
As they're still brawling around ringside. It's really hard for me to get interested in everything that's going on here because these titles mean nothing. Right. Absolutely nothing. This is like the fourth set of tag champions that we've had, and these titles were only brought out in like March. Can we have anyone get a decent long title reign? Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that the way we're going to be that team, because they're an actual team, they've got a name, they got their own music, they are a package, they got a whole thing going on. That's really cool. I would have very much enjoyed. I get it. You want to give Io Shirai something to do, but I still think Io Shirai should have just been called up. Like, you don't need to keep inventing reasons to keep her in NXT. It's just, I'm not big on it. I really like the match. The match itself was really cool. I think Zoe Stark is one of the best finishers in all of NXT. Just looks like it kills you. That flipping knee to the face, just awesome. Awesome. But these titles.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been on board with the idea of NXT women's tag titles. It just feels the most, like, redundant thing when you've got a pair of main roster women's tag titles that also don't get used, like, at all, that were supposed to go back and forth with NXT. Just do that instead. But it's whatever. Tegan Nox is back. That's neat.
That's nice. Yeah.
It'll be nice to have like another face in the NXT women's division. Maybe that will give someone a chance to move up. I don't know that, but that was me hoping.
I'm expecting her to be in a tag team with Zeta Ramir before long. And maybe they'll go for the tag titles. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's I don't know. And then Index.
It was in the ad break. It doesn't matter. It wasn't on the show. It was in the ad break. Doesn't count. Don't know what you're talking about. He came out and he carried Indy away. Cool. Anyway, sure I have nothing to say about that. I don't care. Toni Storm was backstage and she says that after Saray challenged her to a match, she was like, no, Saray's not on my level. Thank you very much. And she walks off. Cool.
Yep.
Anyway, and then we got Hit Row. I like Hit Row.
Hit Row.
Hit Row. They came out to do a cypher, which was their kind of North American Championship celebration cypher. And I was expecting them to come out and do, you know, a little rap or whatever, and then they just like cut a promo or something like that. No. This is a cypher. They just did a cypher. It's very cool. As obviously the rap connoisseur that I am, you know, and the expert of the rap genre, having one whole song on Spotify, thank you very much, that's got less than 1,000 plays. Yeah, that's yes, clearly I'm Eminem as well. Yep, that's me. they came out and did a cypher. It was great. They all just actually rapped and it was really, really cool. And they were very good at it as well. And then they did their theme song as well. They did the cypher and then they actually did like a live performance of their theme song. Awesome. Great. I've seen some people say that this went on too long. And I understand where those people are coming from. I get it. However, I personally really enjoyed this because I feel like this really legitimizes their characters. Not that we needed proof of that because they did their theme song that we can obviously hear as them anyway. But their whole thing is that they rap and they're really good at it. And also they do a wrestle, right? And we got actual proof of that on this show. They're very good at rapping. They're very good at wrestling. We already know that, right? That's awesome. And also, how many musical performances have we sat through in WWE that don't mean diddly dick? They just say, and now here's Flo Rida. And we go, why though? What's this got to do with anything? Why is this here? What's happening? This is a musical performance that gets an act over. This is awesome. This was a great little intermission between the two matches that led into the main event. This was perfect. It got over your North American champion, got over one of the highest factions you got. And hey, if you're not into rap or whatever, sucks to be you, because this is great. Like, if you're not into metal music, how much of that do you have on wrestling shows? You know, like,
yeah,
tough. You're not going to like everything that's there. But if you like rap, you'll understand that this was really, really good. It's just a great segment. They're very cool. I just really like Hit Row.
You can hardly tell. I saw a lot of people saying that this is too long, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I disagree. This, to me, I was watching this just kind of going like, wow, it just kept getting better. Mm-hmm. Like, one after another. Like, I thought that the audio mixing could have been a little bit better. There were times where I was struggling to hear what people were saying, but that's not on the performance, of course. That's on the actual show and the production and things of that nature. But man, like, B-Fab did a good job. Top Dollar did a good job. And you had Swerve just go off and just spit. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I am fairly familiar with Isaiah Swerve Scott's work. You know, I watched him as Shane Strickland on the Indies and everything like that. Knew he was always a very good wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first time that I had seen him do this. And it felt legitimizing, you know? It was because how many times have we seen people just play a character on TV that has nothing to do with them? And it's just kind of like you can tell that they're playing a character. It's a gimmick.
3MB.
Sure. Exactly. This was the exact opposite. This was him going out and just showing that everything about him and this character and the presentation of Isaiah Swerve Scott and Hit Row as a whole is totally legitimate. I love this faction. It's so different. We haven't had anything like this on this big of a stage. You've got rapper John Cena. You've got the Acclaimed doing something different. They're not the same, obviously. There's both hip hop aspects of both, but they're very different. This is the first time that we've seen something like this in a major, major wrestling company, and specifically in WWE. Whether Vince McMahon will understand it and push them to the moon, I would probably bet otherwise. But if they got someone with a clue that knew what they were doing, I think this faction could go all the way and, like, screw the NXT title. Have Swerve be WWE champion for all I care. I'm strapping the rocket to their backs and taking them to the moon. They are just that good. Love it. Love it. Love they it. Really love are. It.
Yeah. It like, I think we've said all we can about it, but it properly, like, legitimizes the act. Even more so, we already knew Hit Row was awesome and one of the best things about NXT going right now. And this, I think, just kind of proved it. They don't even have to come out and have a match, and we're like, they're great. Like we said before, they can do anything, and we're literally just like, awesome. This is great. Love this act. Since their debut, they haven't put a foot wrong, which is wild when you think about it. Because they've been going for a little bit now, and they haven't done anything wrong so far, and that's awesome.
Everything. They've got the cool backstage segments that feel different, where they're in the studio and cutting promos. Like, that's different from whatever, from everything else. They're good wrestlers. They've got a different character. They're a different package. And then they can do this. Oh, total package does not do them justice.
Right? 100%. So there's a really cool cipher. And then we got the main event of Kyle versus Adam Cole, which was awesome. Overall, my last thing that I got, I put down, effing great show that, which it was. I thought it was a really, really great show. This felt like a mini takeover, and it was great. That was the vibe I got off it. It was properly, like, built. It was a really good time. All the matches were great. There wasn't that many promo segments, and any that were there were only like a few minutes, or they were there to build, you know, the Cross Gargano match for next week, which was also very, very fun. It's a great show. It's a 5 out of 5 show. Like, you can't. This was a TV show. I literally, it got to like ad breaks. I was like, wait, why is there ad breaks? It's a takeover. And I was like, wait, it's not a takeover. It's a TV show. I was like, what am I on about? Yeah, this felt like a big deal, and it was treated like a big deal. And a lot of stuff on the show was a big deal. It's a great show.
Great show. 5 out of 5. Home run 5 out of 5 show. This would be one of the best shows of the year, in my opinion. And it was just an episode of a TV, you know? It's a special. It's the Great American Bash. It's a special, but this was better than at least 2 of the takeovers that we've had this year.
This was
better than the In Your House, and I think this was better than Night 2 of Stand and Deliver.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Actually, yeah, 100%. You know? Yeah,
everything else you can kind of go either way, and I'll respect your opinion. But those ones, I can say, this show was better than those two. This was a takeover show on free TV. Nothing to complain about there.
Let's see what you guys thought. Let's get into the rest of your Ultra Chats here. Last chance to get in your Ultra Chats. WrestleTalk.com/support is a link to do it. Link can be found in the pinned comment, the top of the description, or it's on the screen right now. WrestleTalk.com/support. Eric Metzloff says, my girl is back. So happy to see Tegan back in NXT. Hoping for nothing but good health for her going forward. Hashtag Knox for champ. Hashtag Tegan all belts. I mean, yeah, maybe. That's a lot of belts. But yeah, I'm excited to see Tegan Nox back. I've got a very special place in my heart for Tegan Nox because her when she was Nixon Newell versus Bea Priestley in, I believe it was WCPW Stacked, I want to say was the show. I don't know. Where they had a hardcore match for it was a vacant women's title that they had. I think it was their first women's title match that they had in the promotion. That was the first proper women's match I saw outside of WWE. So for me, Tegan's always got a special place mark because that was the show where I was like, oh my God, women's wrestling is good? and they're not just divas all the time. Wild. Yeah, so I hope she does really well in NXT as well. I want her to do good things.
I do too.
Yeah.
You know,
and sure she's a terrible luck as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt so bad for Tegan Nox. I mean, it's like every time she starts to get rolling, it's just another injury. Another big injury too. It's not the injury that takes you off TV for like 6 weeks and kills your momentum. It just like stops you dead in your tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's all behind her. I hope she can have a good feud with Candice LeRae and then probably have another match with Dakota Kai, because that's what they always seem to do. But just keep going up. Keep going mm-hmm. up. Give her a chance to do more stuff.
Yeah, totally. Maybe she can take the title off Raquel Gonzalez. I think there might be a little bit of a story there with a history with Dakota to have kind of be built into the title picture as well.
Raquel debuted attacking Tegan Nox.
100% put her through the takeover Portland. Yeah, put her through the table. Yeah. So yeah, there's lots of stuff to work off there. So maybe that's the direction we go at some point. The BT says, Tempest, please, please, please only refer to Adam as the Sullivan tomorrow. He deserves it for the shenanigans. It's true.
It's not a bad idea. I'll see what I can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Sullivan. And then there's also Sully, who will be competing. But those are two very different people.
Yes.
But yes.
He is the Sullivan.
Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
I watch Club.
Yeah, as do I. It's good content. Go subscribe to No Holds Barred. All right. So today, Tempest, we've actually not got any emails. I know. Shock, horror, craziness. Since you've started, we've always had emails to read out, but today we don't have any. So please email in. support@wrestletalk.com is the place to do it. Email in anything. Doesn't matter. Not anything. Most things. Just email in some stuff and we'll read it. And then we might read out on the show. It'll be cool. Do it. Something I did want to say though, Tempest. I know I quite publicly ragged on you last week for using paper to write out stuff for your scripts, right?
True, I did. I've since finished that, and it was quite long. Mm-hmm. Quite long.
Yeah. I will say, on my trip when I was visiting my family, I had to go on the underground, London Underground, and because I was going from basically one side of London to the other, I was underground for about an hour. So I wouldn't have any phone signal. It's super friggin' loud under there. So even though I downloaded a few podcasts, I couldn't actually hear them through my headset because the tube was so loud. But luckily what I did take was a pad of paper. Hell and I wrote some stuff down. Planned out
pen
some
and paper
stuff.
Game.
Like I got a whole page of stuff there. And it was... And then I got another one that's here. I just kind of was jotting some ideas and some notes on this paper. And you know what? It was pretty good. I'll give it to you. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's pretty decent. I still would never, ever, 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 ever write anything longer than maybe 2 pages on it.
But so you wouldn't write a 25-page rough draft script on pen and paper.
See, this is also a rough draft script, right? But this is, I've got stuff like, because this is for a secret project. Not really, but I'll just say now, it's for a skit video that I'm going to be doing on my YouTube channel. It's about the Dungeons and the Dragons.
Ooh,
And it's like the first bit, I've just got like DM addresses player one. That's the line. I'm not going to fill out exactly what they say, but just generally, because it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It can be whatever. And then player one, normal response. DM. Ha, nice. Addresses player two. Like that. That's the level of the scripting that I've got for this page of notes. Anything more in depth, got to use a computer for that. Because this is the most basic of how it gets.
I see we are still very far apart on our use of the traditional pad of paper. I finished the rough draft of the script. I want to say, when did I do that? It wasn't Saturday, and I did most of it on Friday. So I want to say it was either Sunday or Monday when I actually got it done, And I've since started working on the good draft, which I type and actually weave the sentences together and actually make it somewhat coherent. But by the end of it, it was 25 pages long, which is the longest script that I've ever written. I'm going to divide it into two videos.
That's smart. It's
worth. So, because the longest one I had done was the Jericho Shawn Michaels Greatest Rivalries video mm-hmm. that I made on my YouTube channel, Tempest the Wrestler. Please go subscribe if you haven't already. Subscribe, like, and subscribe. That was 18 pages, and it was about 27 minutes. This one was 25 pages, which I don't know the math on that, but that would be about an extra third, mm-hmm. you know, another 8 pages or so. So that would make it quite a long video. I suppose I could, but I would rather split it into two nice, easier to digest 20-minute videos, perhaps.
Bite-sized chunks.
Bite-sized chunks, yes. Yeah. And I have, of course, since started doing the good draft of this, I don't know how far into it I am. I haven't counted how many pages left, but I've typed 5,000 words on it. I did all of that before I started work yesterday. So,
crikey. That's wild.
Working.
So, yeah, in contrast, when I do write out full things, because I do write out some stuff on my paper sometimes, it's for D&D notes. And it's basically a monster stat block is what it's for.
Of course.
So I'll have stuff. I don't even know if you can see this. But it's like it's a creature called a Dark Mantle, right? And I basically just copied it out of the monster manual that it's in. So right, like its armor class, its HP, its speed, its stats, like its strength, dex, con, etc., any skills and stuff. And then it'll just be like a little description of like what attacks it can do, if there's any like things like that. But that's like as full as it gets, right? Right. So that's all it does. It's like, oh, it has this thing to hit, it does, it has this much reach, it does this much damage, and then it has some like other things. Like if it gets advantage, then it does this other thing. But that's as full as it gets. If this was like went over two pages, I'd be like, nah, I'll just type it. Because I used to type it anyway, because I have all my actual notes for my campaign I have on online anyway. The only reason I write out the monster stats on the paper is because when you're in combat, you just can have a load of sheets of paper out in front of you. You'd be like, wait, what's this thing? Instead of having to go and find the right tab on your notes and scroll up and down, it just gets very confusing. But that's the most I do. And also my handwriting is terrible, as you may have noticed.
It's better than mine.
The reason for that is because I don't write all that often. So, yeah, it's bad. I also can't draw. So that's probably something to do with it, too.
You? Never noticed.
I don't think it's been very public that I can't draw. I think it's a pretty well-kept secret, I think, that I can't draw. There's definitely not been any quiz shows or any games on No Rolls Barred or anything at all like that that would kind of highlight my inability to draw. I'm sure that's gonna never come up again. But tell you what though, I am quite excited for these for the skip videos that I was scripting on here.
Yes.
I'm quite excited for them. I think they're gonna be quite funny. And I don't consider myself someone that's a super funny person, but I come up with some stuff I'm like, actually, that's pretty good. That's pretty funny. Did like a little test read and I was like, that could be good. So I'm quite excited. Any fans out there of Warcaster, you should go and like and subscribe to my channel.
Like and subscribe. Warcaster.
Like and subscribe to Warcaster. There might be some videos coming soon. I was gonna shoot this tonight, one of them. I was gonna shoot one of the videos tonight. But I don't know if I can. One, because I have a ton of work to do after NXT and get that done. And also, I need to go out and buy some food. And I've also got some food coming in a delivery as well, but that's later. So, and it takes like hours for me to shoot this because I need various camera angles with the lighting and it takes ages to record sketch videos. For the length of what they are, it's bonkers.
I went to production school. I know how tedious everything is.
Yeah, exactly. At least it's just me, though, trying to coordinate multiple people for a sketch video. Now, that is ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
But yes, I'm quite excited for this because I think it's going to be very funny. One of them is really stupid, and it's just like a scenario of someone that doesn't understand what dice are. Sorry, it's just dumb. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but it's just funny. So that should be good. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking about my own stuff because, Christ, I will bore you. Did you get up to anything else this weekend, Seppis, other than going to the beach?
I also went to a patio on Sunday.
Nice.
And what started as, oh, let's grab a drink. If it's 4 o'clock, let's go grab a drink at a patio. That just kind of turned into a whole day of drinks at said patio. And
nice.
Yeah, that was an adventure. That was a good time. Again, it feels, I've been having conversations with close friends recently where, you know, kind of saying that I don't know if it's ever going to feel completely normal. You know, there'll always be a thing in the back of your mind if you go to a patio and be just like, I remember when I couldn't do this. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
you have a PTSD flashback of this terrible year and a half that we've all had. But going to a few of those these past 2 weeks or so, it's been pretty nice. Going out and actually living a little bit again.
Yeah,
it you don't realize just how much things change until you see a bunch of people that you haven't seen in a year and a half that you were not allowed to see in a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the key where there I've got friends that I haven't seen in probably 2 years, but we could see each other, you know, tomorrow and it would be like, oh yeah, nothing's changed. How you been?
Yeah,
you know, whatever. Totally. And that's kind of how we would just do. You know, we would see each other maybe on each other's birthdays, which are close. So it would be like my birthday, his birthday, then 10 months, and then we go again. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's fine. And we're still as close as ever. But when it's, no, you're not allowed to see anybody. And you're in isolation for a year and a half. No buys. Just no buys. Mm-hmm. Absolute garbage. Would not recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Would not like a second pandemic. Please and thanks. So, yeah, I mean, it was good. It was just nice, relaxing, took a bunch of pictures, and we got to go to the bar that we would frequent when we worked together downtown in Toronto. So it was a bit nostalgic in the same way, where this was our bar that we would go to like 3 or 4 times a week. So it was nice. It felt right to have that first thing there. So I recommend anybody who is yet to go and get drinks on a patio or see people, make sure you're fully vaxxed and then just go out and live a little bit.
Yeah, man, that's what you got to do. That's, hopefully we can all do that soon. I'm excited because we got the announcement that supposedly all restrictions will be lifted legally from July 19th here in the UK. Which, you know, a little bit of controversy in that one, but you know, which means fingers crossed, we might be able to get back to the office soon, which is, oh man, that's going to be a day. Problem is July 19th is the day after Money in the Bank. So no one's going to be going to the office anyway on July 19th. But maybe July 20th, maybe we could get some people back in the office and I could go and hug them and be like, hey, haven't seen you since March last year. Haven't seen you since No Fans Monday. That was literally the last time we all got together, which is wild. Goodness me. What a show that was. What a show. I got beaten up a lot as an interviewer. Yeah, that was a time. And also, there's a big debate because the people of us that were there, we went to Pizza Express just before the show started and we got some pizzas before the show started. Massive debate. Ollie and Luke, big advocates of the margarita pizza, right? Adam and me and everyone else was like, but toppings, right? Like, you have toppings. It doesn't matter what ones you like, but have toppings because they make the pizza better. And then Luke's like, well, you know, it's got all you want. Got your cheese, got your tomato. What more do you want? And then Adam was like, flavor. Like, you know, yeah. Why stop at just two flavors when you could have all the more of them? It didn't make any sense. I don't get it. I don't buy it. What's your stance, Tempest? We need you to weigh in.
While I can enjoy a margarita pizza.
Yeah, of course. It's very nice.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No.
However, I consider myself to be a bit of a pizza connoisseur. Mm-hmm. There was a time in my life when myself and my high school friends, we would experiment with pizzas and really dive deep into what makes a good pizza. And we would try, we would get like, it was a decent sized group of us. It was like five or six people. So we would get like four medium pizzas on Fridays. And we would get like one of them would be the same way. If we found a style that we liked, we would get that one the same way. We would maybe get a second one of those, and then we would experiment with the other ones. We would work with different toppings and everything. And there are many combinations that work with pizzas. And I cannot discount the incredible combinations that you can have when you actually put things on your pizza. You know,
I'm with you.
Oh man, if y'all ever need pizza recommendations, preferably from Canada, because I can do a better job of know what is on menus and such here. But the secret, it's not just in the toppings; it's also the cheese, it's also the sauce.
Of course,
if you learn how to control those things, it's like getting all the Infinity Stones. You can get the perfect pizza.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh God, there was something I was going to say about that, and now it's literally just slipped my mind. I'm the most forgetful person I think I've ever met.
This happens like at least twice a show.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous. It was something while you were talking, I was like, I should mention this after he's done, and now I've forgotten everything. So I'll just say, I guess that's all the time we've got for this episode of the NXT podcast. Sending your pizza topic recommendations to support@wrestletalk.com, and we'll review them live on air with the pizza connoisseur Tempest, and we'll tell you whether you have good taste or not in your pizza toppings. Anyway, that's all the time we've got. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I really do appreciate it. Take care of each other. Stay safe. We love you very much. And bye, I guess. Bye. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.